John Wesley was the founder of Methodism, the denomination in England. And even though he had been one of the leading preachers of his day, a follower, and preaching throughout England, Wesley himself somehow questioned the validity of his own faith. While leading and inspiring others, he was consumed with doubts about his own salvation. He felt depressed and dejected for his seeming lack of faith. And so, realizing this, a few friends were compelled to ask Wesley to accompany them to a Moravian society meeting in a room on Aldersgate Street, a few blocks from St. Paul's Cathedral in London. He unwittingly attended the prayer meeting, but in doing so, his life was transformed. While attending the Moravian prayer meeting, he heard a reading from the book of Romans. And the passage that he heard is still unknown today, but it transformed Wesley and gave him the assurance of his salvation. Now, regarding the experience, he wrote in his journal on May 24th, 1738, "In the evening, I went very unwittingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Martin Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while the leader was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. I felt my heart strangely warmed." That became the catchphrase that identified Methodism. In fact, it's used today in exactly the same way as Wesley wrote in his journal. "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I no longer harbor any doubts," he said. "I am no longer uncertain. I know I have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ." That's the message of Christmas that we celebrate tonight. With the coming of the Christ child, we have been saved from our sins. We are forgiven. We know the assurance that heaven will be our final resting place. In Latin, Christmas means Christ Mass, or Christmas. So Christmas is a Mass. It is a worship service where we celebrate Christ's birth on Christmas Day. The celebration was not a very important event for the first 400 years of the early church. In fact, during those centuries, the church focused on the death and resurrection of Christ. Good Friday and Easter were the most important events in the early church. Christmas was recognized during those centuries, but to a much lesser degree. Now, there was no common understanding among the various churches on how or even when to celebrate Christmas. And so the Christmas Day celebration took on all kinds of various dates throughout Christendom. And how these dates were selected were determined from church to church. Some used the vernal equinox, the time at which the sun crosses the plane of the equator toward the relevant hemisphere, making the night and day of equal length. That occurs about March 21st in the northern hemisphere, and that was one of the early dates. And another date was the fourth day of creation, the fourth day of the week. So it was the day that God created the sun, and since Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, it was said he was born on the fourth day. Another popular date was January 6th, which is Epiphany, the day in which we celebrate the baptism of Jesus, the coming of the wise men. And those who promoted that particular date considered Jesus just to be a human being, that he really wasn't alive until the Holy Spirit descended on him at his baptism in the form of a dove. And then it was at that time that Jesus as a human became the incarnate Spirit of God. That was the most popular view circulating around the early church. It was also the most heretical doctrine because it denied the incarnation of Jesus at the conception. And it caused the church fathers then to realize that a date for the birth of Jesus had to be officially established. And so the date selected was December 25th. Now, one reason is that the date comes before January 6th, a date that celebrated Jesus' baptism, Epiphany. And so with the church officially recognizing the birth and the incarnation of Jesus on December 25th, then they could no longer argue for January 6th as the day of his birth. Another reason for the date that most of you are probably most familiar with is that December 25th was a great secular celebration in honor of the Sola Invictus, who was worshipped as the invincible sun. Sola Invictus was the sun god of the Romans. And the celebration of Solus Invictus went far beyond just merriment to actual debauchery. And so the lack of social restraints had allowed someone to indulge in just all kinds of mischievous behavior that attracted some Christians to their festivities. And so the attractiveness of the celebration's activity certainly made it easy for the flesh to rule over the spirit. So the church leaders knew that they needed to draw Christians away from the secular pagan holiday and determined that celebrating Christmas was one of the best ways to do it. And so December 25th was selected not only to counter the heresy of January 6th, but also to denounce the celebration of Solus Invictus. December 25th also cleared up another dispute in the church. Now all congregations could celebrate the birth of Jesus on the same day. One of the early church fathers, the Archbishop of Constantinople, was John Chrysostom. He was known for his ability to preach and his skill at public speaking. He delivered his well-known Christmas sermon, In Deum Natalem, the title of his sermon in Latin meaning in the day of, or literally the birth of Christ. And in his sermon, what was interesting is that the title he chose actually meant birthday. He preached it in Antioch in 386, and it had become universally acceptable to celebrate Christmas on December 25th. In his sermon, he expressed the joy that we all feel on Christmas morning. He preached, quote, God was seen on earth through flesh and dwelt among humankind. So then, beloved, let us rejoice with great gladness. For if John leapt in his mother's womb when Mary visited Elizabeth, consider that we have actually seen our Savior born today. So now we much more must leap, rejoice, be full of wonder and astonishment at the grandeur of God's plan, which exceeds all thought. Think how great it would be to see the sun coming down from the heavens, running on the earth, and sending out its beams on everybody from here. That's the joyous celebration we experience tonight. From his sermon, we see and learn that Jesus was God on earth. And just as John the Baptist leapt in Elizabeth's womb, we who have seen Jesus also leap and rejoice. Because on Christmas Day, we know that God has come down from heaven to earth and has bathed us in the beams of God's love and light. You know, Christmas didn't become as secularized as it is today until about the middle of the 19th century. In the 19th century, Christians began to acquire its association with an ever-increasing secularized holiday of gift-giving and good cheer. The view was popularized in Clark Morham's poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, written in 1823. And then, of course, Charles Dickens' story, A Christmas Carol, in 1843. These stories, we love to hear them at Christmas, but their emphasis on Jesus was overshadowed as benevolence became the theme. Then Christmas cards first appeared in 1846, and from there, one secular tradition after another has been added. Now, I don't want you to feel bad. It's not wrong to participate in these kinds of secular traditions if they don't take precedent over the study of the birth of the story of Jesus' birth, as we heard from Luke's gospel. The birth of Jesus should make us enthusiastic to serve Him, to celebrate. We should have a heartfelt zeal in sharing Christian love, the love that we've experienced from God today. You know, those who knelt before the manger in Bethlehem were never the same again. John Wesley, while attending a societal meeting in a room in Aldersgate Street, had his own form of a manger, and he was never the same again. Where is the manger that has changed your life? Where did the Christmas experience happen for you? When did you come to be able to say, I felt my heart strangely warmed? Did your Christmas experience, whether it happened on December 25th or another day of the year, make you enthusiastic to serve the Lord Jesus? Did your Christmas experience give you a heartfelt zeal to share the love of Jesus? Did the moral power of the incarnate Christ bring you salvation and a transformed life? In our lectionary, Paul tells us the meaning of the words bringing salvation to all. It was the Christmas story, the story of salvation, the story that gives us an Aldergate experience. It is the moral power of the incarnation that we accept Christ as Lord and Savior and by grace experience salvation. We know what it means to be forgiven. But then Paul wrote that if the Christmas story brings us to accept Jesus as Savior, then we must live, in Paul's words, to renounce impiety and worldly passions and the present age, to live lives that are self-controlled and upright and godly. Christmas brings the moral power that brings us salvation and changes how we live. We no longer attend the festivities of the Solo Invictus, the Roman god worshipped as the invincible sun. We have surrendered that debauchery way of life, and we now live a life self-controlled, upright, and godly. To live a life upright and godly is not an easy mandate. It requires self-discipline. It requires us to be engaged daily in meditation, to be a part of a worshiping community that celebrates Christmas each Sabbath day. And once you feel your heart strangely warm, it becomes imperative that you're engaged in activities that will continue to warm your heart. Finally, Apollo 8 was the first manned spacecraft to enter the moon's orbit. What heightened the excitement of this historic occasion is that the spacecraft began its flight around the moon on Christmas Eve, 1968. And so to commemorate this special occasion and to recognize the religious significance of the date, all three astronauts, Frank Borman, James Lovell, William Andrews, decided to read passages from Scripture to all the inhabitants of the planet Earth. The three men decided that the most appropriate text would be the creation story recorded in Genesis. The Gideons presented the space voyagers with a Bible from which they could do their reading. Unfortunately, the Gideon Bible was not made of fire-resistant material, And so the astronauts could not take it along in the space capsule. How, they wondered then, could they carry this Genesis text into space? The solution came. They printed the Bible passage on the flame-resistant flight plan. Therefore, each time the astronauts read the day's agenda, their eyes fell upon the Word of God. Because of this arrangement, the Word of God was constantly kept before the astronauts during their entire journey in outer space. In the foreboding darkness of space, looking down upon a light blue-colored planet surrounded by a white halo of clouds, and beyond that brilliance, the other planets, stars, and moons, the astronauts must have truly understood the words of Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You know, whatever darkness one may encounter, it'll always be penetrated by the light of Christ. And so as we celebrate Christmas today, we do so knowing that today and every day, that every time we look at our daily agenda, we will know that we no longer walk in darkness, but we have indeed seen a great light. Merry Christmas, and God bless you. Amen.